Thank you, Mr. Borker. Good to see you all. Back from the feast, back into the slog of things. Well, life can be difficult, and there are times when people can communicate in a negative way. And it can result in four different responses in how you deal with that. And this message is about those four ways to respond to negativity. So what I'm going to do is do this graphically. We can respond positively or negatively. So what I'm going to do is divide this up into positive at the top and negative at the bottom. And you could generally classify how you respond as positive or negative. And then we could further divide that into how we respond positively to ourselves, or negatively to ourselves, or to others. So this forms four different responses. And when we say positive, we could say love. And in this quadrant here on the top left, the top being love responses to self. So this would be love for self. And on the top right would be love for others. And in the bottom, we can respond negatively, and we could say this is contempt. So on the left, it would be contempt for self. And on the bottom right would be contempt for others. So we're going to look at those four responses. And due to our upbringing or current environment, we may automatically respond in a certain way. And generally, we respond in the negative. So we'll discuss these four responses and what God says about them. Now, someone communicating negative can be in extremes, like minor or harsh. And an example of someone harshly communicating with you, it could be, I'm going to destroy you financially, accuse you unjustly, and kick you out of the neighborhood. That would be a pretty harsh thing. And we see that in Pakistan and Bangladesh in the church community. And a minor negative communication may present as someone not answering your question. So say you come into a room and say to someone, hello, and they turn away and don't respond to you. So we can have four different responses to those negative communications. Now, if we go into fear and defend ourselves, we may go into contempt for others. Right, in this bottom right-hand quadrant, we may respond with contempt for someone. And we could go into shame and feel bad about ourselves. So that would be contempt for self. That's kind of an inward response to negativity. And if we're emotionally intelligent or godly, we will respond in more of a love response. So that's love for others or love for self. So let's start with the quadrant responding with contempt for others. What does the Bible say about that? And how does that affect us? So this might manifest as anger, disgust, defensiveness, fighting or justifying one's position, attacking, bitterness, pride. And you might want to try and fix the person that's trying to impose that negativity on you. So these are not so positive responses, but a natural tendency. So let's look at some concepts with this contempt for others quadrant. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we wrestle not with flesh and blood. And sometimes we take it personally and then take our response out on that other person. But that's not who we're wrestling with. In Romans 12, in verse 21, it says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So the godly response is to respond back with kindness or goodness and not evil. Point number three is go to your brother. And in Matthew 18, we have instruction on how to approach someone who's wronged you. And we can start in verse 15. It says, moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone, and if they hear you, you have gained your brother. So go to your brother. And it can be very easy to go into self-contempt and isolate and just not go to solve the problem. And sometimes there may just be a misunderstanding. And like that example, when you say hello to someone and they turn away and walk away, maybe they're just having a bad day. Maybe they just suffered a loss, or maybe they left the stove on at home, or their mind is on something else. It's not about you at all. So by going to your brother, it can clear up misunderstandings. Number four is be humble, because you may be the problem. You know, if someone points out something to you, it's good to have that open mind and see, well, maybe I can improve my game or have that humble approach that I may need to change here. Point number five in this quadrant is bless them and pray for them, right? The Bible talks about blessing your enemies and those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Bless them and pray for them. Point number six is recognize and label your feelings, and that can really help you understand what's going on. It takes the intensity out of it. Labeling your feelings can help you cope with that situation. And point number seven is don't try to fix them, right? Someone's imposing something on you. Trying to fix them can create more resistance, and it can be a pride position, right? I know better and I'm going to fix you. So trying to fix someone is probably not the best idea. So that's the contempt for others quadrant. Let's go to contempt for self as a response to negativity. If we're inclined to be intimidated, we can go to shame or self-contempt, and that may manifest as withdrawal, shame, guilt, isolation. You may say to yourself, I am nothing, I'm useless, no one loves me, I don't matter. What's the use? I can't talk with you. And I think we can all identify with that, you know, going to shame as a response. But the beautiful part about this quadrant of self-contempt, is that we get to see our own humanity. And it's partly true. It's partly true that we are nothing. So let's look at some of the concepts of self-contempt. Let's go to firstly to 1 Corinthians 1. verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, now that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble are called. Well, that's you and me. Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak of the world to confound the things that are mighty. So there's actually purpose in your weakness, and feeling shame for yourself and feeling bad and feeling nothing is okay. It's okay to be there. And it's normal to go there. Let's go to John 15. John 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel like we are useless. I just can't cope. I can't do this. And that's okay. Because we can't do anything without Christ living in us. And sometimes we need that reminder. Sometimes we need that reminder that we need Christ for everything. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. Also reinforces this point. Isaiah 66 verse 2. Let's start in verse 1. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built for me and where is the place of my rest? For all these things has my hand made and all those things have been, says the Lord. But to this man I'll look, to even him that is poor and of contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. And sometimes we get in those situations where we feel really contrite. We get knocked down a peg. And that's okay because God looks on you in those moments. You're closer to God when you are at that contrite point. God is looking to inhabit you if you are contrite and tremble at his word. Point number four is Satan wants you to be accused, broken, and give up. And when we're in that self-contempt, that's where we're at, and that's not a good place to stay. It's nice to appreciate that, but it's not your destiny. And if we look at the example of Job, when Satan accused Job of only being righteous because he was protected, and God gave Satan a little bit of slack there, did Satan bless Job, help him, support him, bless him? No. Satan is the destroyer. He wants us in this place of contempt. It's just not where we need to stay. Point number five, the antidote for this oppression, dead end, this shame and darkness, this yucky, dirty place, is to allow God's loving grace to free you. And that's my point number six. Let's go to 1 John 1, and verses 4 to 9, verse 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Let's get out of that sadness and self-contempt. The purpose is to have joy. Verse 5, then this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8, and if we say we have no sin or no darkness, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So sometimes we do sin. Sometimes we do have contempt for ourselves. But here's the solution in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a fresh start. And that's our path out of contempt. There's no more condemnation. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So point number 7 is thank God for this freedom. Let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10 and verse 10 to 12. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So that's our path to salvation, is confession, acknowledging that. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoso believes on him shall not be ashamed. Right? That's not having contempt for yourself. And that's where the antidote is trusting God. And he's quoting there Isaiah 28, verse 16, which says the same thing. Point number 8 is shame is the glue that binds you in contempt. And if we go back to Romans 8, I just love Romans 8. When you're feeling contempt or shame, Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation or shame to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So when we're practicing following Christ, having him live in us, there is no shame. Verse 14 to 16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear or contempt, but you have received the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father. Like, we are children of God. There is no shame in that. Verse 20, Romans 8, verse 20 and 21, for the creation was made subject to vanity or vulnerability, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject the same in hope. Verse 21, because the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Right? So there's freedom in God. There's freedom in his word. Verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God loves us. It's just we forget that sometimes. When we're feeling shame and isolation, we need to focus on God's love for us. We are loved. Now, point number 9, sometimes the one shaming you may be guilty of the very thing. That's hypocrisy, right? Someone's doing something wrong, but they blame you or project their things on you. Let's go to Romans 2 and verse 1. It says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judges. For wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you that judge do the same thing. So sometimes that negative communication is not really you. It can be the other person projecting their issues on you, and not to take that personally. But if we show contempt for others, we can project our stuff on them. So it's a two-way street, you know. Maybe it's not our fault, but when we work with others or communicate with others, we've got to be careful that we don't project our junk on them. So that's responding to contempt for self. Now we'll go into some of the positive quadrants, the love for others quadrant, the top right-hand quadrant. Responding in love for others. And this can manifest as curiosity, right? As to why someone would be negative to us. Asking them questions, empathizing with their negativity, like what might they be feeling. Maybe having pity for them, that they're struggling with something, or love for others can manifest as tolerance, understanding, love, and long-suffering. So here's some concepts for this quadrant of love for others. Firstly, how we respond to others can determine their reaction to have contempt for us or themselves. Let's go to Colossians 4. Colossians 4 and verse 6. This is about how we can express our love for others. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. All right, so being gentle and courteous, and it's responding in love and kindness. Point number 2, thank them for communicating to you that negativity. That kind of takes the sting out of it, and it communicates to them that you matter. And it's amazing how you can de-escalate someone by thanking them for communicating that negative thing to you. Point number three, go to your brother with curiosity, not contempt. In Matthew 18, we go to our brother and check in with them. Point number four, we'll go to James, is listen. James 4. Well, let's start in James 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's a good place to be when someone comes at you with the negativity. Let's go to chapter 3 and verse 2. For in many things we offend all. You know, there is going to be people that are negative. Even we ourselves will come across as negative. In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. So that's our aim, is to not have offence, to have that perfect expression of love to others. Point number five is empathise. So someone who's projecting negativity at you is, so we've listened to them and now we're empathising with how they feel. Is, you must be angry, or are you feeling angry? Are you feeling irritated at me? And this empathy and soft listening can result in healing. This is a very healing on relationships, the intention, where there's conflict. When you validate someone's emotion, they may come forth with another complaint. And when you validate those feelings, you really get to the core of what the issue is. Number six, negative communication by others is a tragic expression of their unmet needs. And when we try to understand what their unmet needs are, we can have deeper understanding. It's not about the emotion or how negative it is, but what are their unmet needs? And point number seven, everyone's core needs is to matter and to be loved. And when we try to meet other people's needs to matter and to be loved, there is peace. Point number eight is hurt people hurt other people. So when you are feeling negativity coming your way, very often that person is hurt. And how can I soothe their hurt? How can I show pity to their hurt instead of contempt back to them? So the last quadrant is love for self. In this quadrant is we can respond to negativity by loving ourselves, and this manifests as peace, joy, acceptance, energy, and power. So here's some concepts here for this quadrant. Number one is that you are loved and you matter. So whatever negativity comes your way doesn't change that. You are loved and you do matter. Let's go to John 3. John 3, And verse 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So God loved you so much that he gave his Son to be whipped and beaten and to be sacrificed for you. You are loved. And Christ came not to condemn, and we shouldn't be condemning ourselves either. Because if you are, you're putting yourself above God who gave his Son, so you don't have to feel that contempt. Point number two is no one can take that from you. Let's go to Romans 11. Romans 11 and verse 29. "For the gifts and calling of God are without revocation or without repentance." It cannot be revoked. Your calling cannot be revoked. And the gifts that come with that, the Holy Spirit and all of the other benefits that come with your calling, cannot be revoked. It doesn't matter how negative someone is to you, you don't need to go into self-contempt and isolation and just know that no one can take that from you. You are loved and you matter. Point number three is you can love others more effectively if you love yourself. So when you're in self-contempt, you probably go into isolation and feel alone, very alone. And when you're feeling good about yourself, you're more able to reach out to others and help meet their needs. Let's go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 37 to 39. "And Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" So if you're having contempt for yourself, why would you treat anyone else differently, right? You need to love yourself and to accept that you are an amazing child of God, and you're more likely to treat others that way. Now, we covered a whole bunch of stuff in the other quadrant of self-contempt, that pathway to love for self. So all those points are relevant. That's point number four. Point number five is you are created to be in the image of God. And we see that in Genesis 1 verse 26, where God said, "Let us create man in our image." And in Romans 8, verse 28, and 29, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Right, so that's our destiny, brethren, to be amazing. To be called weak and to be amazing, to be that light to the world. One thing that really helps to love yourself is to know that you are a holy child of God. And when you say that to yourself, I am a holy child of God, it changes your perspective. There's great power and peace in saying this out loud and thanking God for it. It's like healing to your heart. So now that we have perspective on these four quadrants, in closing, some ideas on what to do with that. So firstly, acknowledge which quadrant you are in. In response to something, where am I at? Am I, which of these four? Am I positive, negative? Am I contempt for self, love for self? Am I love for others or contempt for others? So acknowledge where you're at and accept those feelings, whether they be contempt or anger or whatever, accept those as normal human responses. But then choose to move into the love quadrant. So if you're feeling contempt for others or contempt for self, you need to mindfully move into the positive. That's our path and our destiny. And we can't do that if we don't know where we're at. So know where you're at, accept those feelings and move into the love quadrants. You can use these strategies to move from contempt to love, and practicing them with small hurts enables you to deal with those same strategies with big hurts. You can role play them with your family or in your mind when something comes up, or create a bit of a scenario in your mind, something that has happened. How could I respond in those four ways? And if things are beyond your skill level, and life's like that, life is complicated, things are different all the time with stress, and seek help. We've got the ministry. You may have someone you trust to talk with, and those who may have experience navigating these difficult situations. God's word is loaded with examples of these type of four types of interaction, and also instruction on how to move forward. And lastly, God's Spirit is loaded with the essence you need to navigate godly communication. So asking God for His Spirit, He will give it to you. So may God's love fill you and your communication responses. And I wish you a happy Sabbath.